online, offline, bottom line. Sendoff.net.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back once again to Sundog the Podcast. You're listening to episode number 5. It's a social media world after all. Thanks for joining us once again, everybody. I'm Lon Keller, senior editor here at Sundog Studios, and joining us today, all from our creative department upstairs on floor 6, we start off with Eric Ista. Good morning, Eric.
Hello.
And we also have, once again, Matthew Charpentier, or Charpentier.
Yep.
And joining us, I believe, for the first time on the podcast is Darren Livdahl.
Hello.
How's it going, guys?
Very good.
Doing swell.
Very good.
Super duper. Well, what we're going to do today is talk about the world of social media. On the last episode, we talked about what makes a website fit into the Web 2.0 category, and social media websites certainly fall into that bucket. Now, before we talk about any specific websites, let's take a minute and ask the question, what is social media and what are these websites all about?
Not a clue. No.
I think it's about what I use them for basically is kind of creating an online identity or kind of a brand for yourself, and a lot of the social networks kind of all link together to form your brand.
I'd say it's another form of entertainment as well. I mean, people are going on social websites to meet other people, to have fun, learn about things. I know that social websites have sort of replaced television for me because I know I watch a lot less TV now. So I guess that's one thing.
On the negative side, I say they're a lot of work.
Yes, that is true.
I know I signed up for a MySpace and I have a Facebook page, and basically I have a picture of me and my name on it, and I haven't really gotten much deeper than that. I find it just takes so much time to maintain those things.
But. Well, especially things like MySpace. I think Facebook was, when Facebook came out, it was a good example of one of the things that could sort of maintain itself. I mean, you had the option of going in, adding pictures and looking at your friends' stuff and everything, but over time, stuff's just sort of builded. You would be build itself.
Builded?
Builded.
Yep.
Stuff builded. You know, pictures. People would add pictures of you, tag pictures of you. There's your news feed and everything, and kind of like Facebook right now for me is absolutely no work because I just go on like once a week or once every couple weeks and just see what's going on, and everything is just kind of going nonstop in the background, and I haven't really had to do anything, which is the beauty of Facebook. Now it's now that they've added third-party apps, I think it's going downhill because you just constantly get spammed, and it is now becoming more work.
Is it more work to, you got to, what, opt out on things not to get spammed, or?
Well, people are constantly inviting you to these
take quizzes.
Apps and quizzes and surveys and rate this and rate that and be part of my vampire club and vampires versus werewolves and
ninja versus pirates.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. And that is super annoying. So that has actually made me use Facebook quite a bit less, but. But for a while there, it was actually pretty interesting because you didn't really have to maintain anything. And MySpace, to me, was a lot of work because you did have to add your photos and update your profile and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't as dynamic. So that's why I kind of stopped using that altogether because it did take a lot of time to do all that kind of stuff.
Is that why some of these sites, you know, that haven't made it as big as MySpace and Facebook are just falling by the wayside so quickly because people, you know, they think it's cool and they sign up right away and then they realize, oh, I really have to be on here almost 24/7 to make it worth my time.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I've signed up for probably a dozen of these social sites and they've all proven to be quite a bit more work than they were trying to save you. Like, well, sort of Web 2.0 utilities and stuff that were built to sort of save you time actually ended up taking more of your time than...
Save you time how?
Well, there's, I mean, I'm getting into the Web 2.0 side of things, where there's sites that have utilities to sort of take notes and messages and keep track of all your things. But in order to enter them all into the site all the time, it was more work than having to just remember five things that you had to do that day, you know? If it was like a to-do type item.
Yeah, I think a lot of those other sites like verb.com and different ones like that, that when I was initially invited to it, I thought it was great. I thought, well, this is much better than Facebook or MySpace. But I think a lot of those, you know, aren't as popular. I would have preferred to stick with that one, but I think they kind of fall by the wayside because, you know, people kind of follow where everybody else is going, and with kind of the top, you know, one or two or whatever, like Facebook or MySpace. And it just seems like, you know, if certain services like that that aren't used by your friends or whatever, you're less likely to deal with it or add your content to it.
Who do you feel is using social sites more? What age group, if you had to just take a guess?
Well, you just told me, so I know.
Well, okay. Let's pretend we didn't talk for the show.
No, before you told me that, I had the assumption that, it was a younger crowd. I figured, you know, high school through college age mostly. Maybe, you know, slightly older than that, just out of college perhaps. But
that's what I assumed.
And that makes sense because Zuckerberg behind Facebook, I mean, he built the thing when he was a freshman at Harvard. Mm-hmm. And he did it just to basically keep all his friends together. So, yeah, that does make sense.
And the real answer is?
And the real answer is persons 35 to 54.
I did not know that.
And that amazes me.
Mm-hmm. This was the report that came up in most of my searches on, you know, who is using these social sites. And I was surprised. It's an older than average crowd.
Mm-hmm. And does it, do you have any reasons as to why? I mean, what, how they're using it?
No.
Nerdy old men looking for dates.
Mm-hmm. What makes these social sites so different from like traditional media or traditional communication methods that are so attractive to the, to this crowd?
Well, I think it, you know, it's the whole word of mouth, aspect of things. You know, I mean, you hear your friends say something or they're on there chatting and these are the people that you know and trust. And, you know, it's, it just goes back to word of mouth. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, we have internally here, we've got Twitter accounts and we've tried Pounce and things like that. Just for the record here, I'm the one that is the elder of the four sitting around the table here today. I have tried Twitter. I've tried Pounce. They're cool in their own way. But if I were to be forced to rely on just that communication tool alone, I couldn't do it. Because like Matt said, it would take up so much of my time just making sure I'm on top of things. I wouldn't want to miss anything.
Yeah. See, what I like, I use Twitter quite often, and we had tried Pounce. And the one thing that I like about Twitter, and I don't even, I guess it is considered, I suppose it could be considered a social network, but I almost like the fact that Twitter, you're not expected to respond to anything. It's more like random thoughts, and you just kind of throw it out there. And that's great for me because I have so many random thoughts throughout the day and just kind of, it's almost like a little check valve for me. So my head doesn't explode. I can just shoot out an idea and somebody will pick up on it later in the day and I'll talk to them in a different form, whether it be an email or passing in the hallway or whatever. I like that there's, for me, Twitter, there is no maintenance.
It's very maintenance free, very simple.
Exactly.
So you're shouting a wise comment across the hall and I'll become shouting it across the globe.
All right. Exactly.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. I use it too, and I thought it was completely pointless. Mm-hmm. And it seems to when you first get the idea of what it's all about. But what I kind of kept me using, you know, a kind of a micro blogging service like that was just to, you know, read about certain interests and in entertainment or anything that my friends were into. You know, so you'd learn about, you know, good products and what, you know, people are actually watching and different things like that. And that's what kind of keeps me looking.
Yeah, there's been quite a number of things that I have gone and checked out. This goes back to this word of mouth thing that I was talking about. You know, somebody will say, just have a one sentence comment about a cool site. I'm trying to think of the last one I got. Somebody sent, I know one that I sent out was the Star Wars little jump drives that you could get, or little, yes, USB memory drive. And I, you know, just said, ooh, I know what I want for Christmas. And I sent a little link out with, and then I talked to people throughout the day, and everybody had gone to the site to check it out, and everybody else wanted it. So, mm-hmm. you know, instead of going on and on about what these things were, it was just a quick comment. Hey, here's my number one pick for Christmas. And, you know, didn't even say what it was. And people just went and checked it out. So mm-hmm. it's that, you know, that trust that your friends know what you like, and you're not going to throw out a comment that, you know, that they're not interested in. You know who you're talking to, you know who signed up to follow you on Twitter. And so if somebody says something, it's usually of some sort of interest to you.
Mm-hmm. How do you think this affects buying habits? I mean, this to me, this is a marketing dream. Most people are influenced by their friends. What kind of a laptop should I get? Oh, well, my buddy owns a Mac. That must be pretty good. I trust mm-hmm. him, so I'll go get one too.
I don't know. I guess it influencing buying habits. Sound like a broken record, but again, it's the word of mouth aspect, and you're hearing things from people you trust. You're just hearing more of it now. Mm-hmm. Instead of waiting to run into a friend of yours and asking them about what they got, you can know instantly. You can throw out or go to somebody's MySpace page or use Twitter or whatever and just fire it out there and say, hey, everybody, what do you think? And you get some instant feedback on it.
And I think another attractive part about that is you know that they're not trying to sell you something, exactly. you know, and you know yeah. that you can kind of trust them, and it seems like a neat idea or a neat product, and you know that it's just something they apparently like, and they're not trying to get you to buy the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably the motivation behind what Microsoft did, spending $240 million on Facebook. They get, 60%? Of Facebook's audience, it's the audience outside of the U.S., so they are in charge of all the ad placement. Google has done a similar move with MySpace. They're in charge of all the banner ads. So, you know, these big players in the media game are realizing that the pressure to sell and the ability to sell is going to be more enhanced by when a person's friends can do it, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, like a car salesman knocking on your door and saying, here, look at this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, along the lines of the buying habit question there. I know you guys heard about, you know, Facebook and that little, problem that they had with showing, Beacon showing what people had recently purchased. Of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, then that's, you talk about this, and that's the great part of it, is that you can share all these things about you that other people might be interested in, but then all of a sudden, if you're forced into sharing things, mm-hmm. you know, there's a fine line there. And
They did an interesting dance, apologizing for it after the fact. If you want an interesting read, we'll post a link in the show notes to basically Mark Zuckerberg's apology mm-hmm. / reasoning why they did that.
I don't know how that thing could even have come about. I don't know what meetings there were that said, hey, this is a great idea.
Just out of college arrogance.
Could be. But it reminded me of, I don't know if you guys ever saw that one Saturday Night Live skit with Bad Idea Jeans, but I think that definitely belonged on a Bad Idea Jeans commercial. I seem to be talking about all the negative things of these social networks, but hey, that's who I am. Recently in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, the headline in the Star Tribune was 42 students questioned, 13 disciplined. And I don't know if you guys heard this story or not, but apparently there had been a party of some sort, and a number of students were seen in a photo that had been posted on a Facebook page. And they're not saying how the photo was brought to the attention of the school administration, but they saw it and they started questioning. They were calling students in, so they talked to 42 of them, and 13 of them apparently faced disciplinary action because they were supposedly drinking in this photo. Well, that created quite a stir in the school, and a number of students organized a walkout. And their point was, I think they had handed out the red plastic cups that, you know, you would have at mm-hmm. a party of that nature. And they all carried these glasses out with them, showing, well, you know, it's a red plastic cup. So what? You can't tell what's in this thing. You know, how can you discipline students based on this one photo that you find on a, you know, a Facebook page? And so there's been a lot of back and forth on that. There was an interview with, I guess a social network expert, they said. I don't know how you get that job, but surprisingly,
there's quite a few out there now.
He took an approach from both sides. I mean, he said from the one side, hey, parents, you know, like you didn't know some, you know, this happens. It happened before Facebook was around. It's going to happen after. I mean, it's part of growing up, and you need to talk to your kids if you don't want them drinking. This isn't anything new. You're just finding out about it in different ways. Mm-hmm. And then he said on the kids' part, what are you posting everything of your private life on the internet about? What are you thinking? You know, so
sometimes it's not their fault either. You know,
well, yeah. Darren and I were just like having a conversation of, you know, he talked about, you know, Facebook and MySpace kind of being your own personal brand and developing that. And I know in another conversation we had in our first podcast, it's like, do companies have control of their brand anymore with all of these social type things and YouTubes and whatever posting? Well, are you in control of your own brand? Because you're at this party, you know, a number of the kids that were at this party, you know, that wasn't their Facebook page that this picture was posted on, and they got in trouble. So now are they upset with the person that posted that picture? I mean, you really have to be careful what you do, because...
And you have no control. You could make a picture out of anything and post it. I could have put a friggin' joint in that guy's hand and Photoshop and put it up on there.
That's right. So, yeah, it gets kind of scary. And then, it feels so anonymous when you're on there posting these things, because you're doing it on your computer. And I think it's very easy to forget that this is going out across the world, you know, and Who knows who's going to see what. And, and when you're posting these things, it's like it's very easy to have a lapse in judgment of what's private and what's not. And,
well, is that a concern for you three about, you know, privacy on the web?
Oh, very much. Yeah. One of the reasons that I probably haven't maintained my MySpace page is that most of the photos that I have now are of me and my children. And I have problems posting pictures of my children on the web in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Even Flickr. I don't know. I mean, I have all my stuff set to private on Flickr, but... I just don't do that just because I've heard too many things. I'm kind of paranoid, but still, I just think it's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah. I'm probably not as private as I should be sometimes, but I use like Flickr, you know, a whole lot. And I have some things that are public and a lot of things that are private, like you're saying with like family and people, you know, you want to keep their identities private too. And what I always do, of course, is make sure I don't type anything, you know, along with the photo or anything that gives away information. I'm always very careful about that kind of thing. So.
I'm not.
He doesn't care.
I don't care.
We got a presidential election coming up here. It's going to be real interesting to watch and see how social media affects that. ABC News has teamed up with Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, so you got a juggernaut in ABC as far as a news organization goes, and they're realizing the power of what this communication tool can do.
Yeah, I was actually wondering earlier if Hillary Clinton has a Facebook page or if any of them do.
Yeah, and the research when I was doing this, there's over 500 politicians that have it, that have either MySpace or Facebook or both. Barack Obama, I think, was doing something on MySpace. Hmm. So yeah, they're all taking advantage of it. Hmm.
Yeah, well, then that just kind of goes to show how careful you do need to be in what you post. If you ever want to be in those positions of running for president or whatever else, that's you know, those things could come back to haunt you.
Like I said before, I'm the older one of the group, and my mind isn't made up whether or not I want to, you know, actively pursue going down the road of becoming a member and routinely using it. I see the opportunities. For marketing folks out there that want to have another avenue to sell product, but for me personally, I can't see a use for it, on at least not on a daily basis.
Yeah, there's parts that I really really like, and in fact I was talking to Darren about this earlier too. I wish there were more social abilities on some of the other sites that I go to. Like I use eMusic quite a bit, and I know they have a very limited kind of social network on there, but it's very difficult to find other subscribers that are friends of yours. Mm-hmm. And what I like about it, the few people that I have been able to find that I know, it'll list, you know, the albums and bands that you've downloaded, and I find new music that way because mm-hmm. I know they have the same interests as me. And so, you know, it's not a social network per se, I guess, as, you know, as you would see a Facebook or a MySpace page, but it has social aspects to it. And I really wish that they were a little bit deeper and worked a little bit better. But yeah, and I think back to Sharpie's point too of, you know, the ones that like he liked Facebook when it was strictly social, but then you like as the marketers start to get a little more savvy to it and see how it can be used, then it starts does start to turn people off a little bit because then it becomes a lot more commercial and kind of loses its original intention.
Yeah, and I've like MySpace and I've tried all those too, but I tend to, you know, prefer simplicity. I prefer like a Twitter and Flickr and like Fish was talking about earlier, with social music sites. Like, I use Pandora.com a lot, and they even have a small social part of it where you can, you know, link to your friends' lists and see channels that they've configured, and you learn new music that way. And just those simple little side things I tend to look at more so than trying to, you know, build up something in MySpace or take quizzes that I don't want to take or whatever they are.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, if marketers can find a way to market smartly on the social networks, like you said, Lon, I mean, it's a dream, you know, for marketers mm-hmm. because you're getting people to talk about your product in a way that's conversational and you know, isn't coming across pushy or anything like that. But when you just start putting ads on the MySpace pages and things like that, then, you know, I don't mm-hmm. know that that's really, you know, utilizing the social networks to their greatest potential. You know, I think you need to approach them differently. You need to, you know, just a total different way of thinking of how to, you know, get your product or get your service out there and get people talking about it.
Do you see, companies hiring people just to be in their marketing department and their job is to interact on a daily basis on these social media websites,
you know,
almost playing like a fake friend?
Yeah. You know, I haven't heard any specific examples of that for the social network sites, but I'm sure it's happening. I did hear an example of that actually live action in, I think it was in Japan. There was a company that actually sent people out to market, or, you know, grocery stores, things like that. Mm-hmm. And they were paid placements throughout these stores. And so as you're shopping, this person strikes up a conversation with you and starts talking about this product and say, have you tried this? Oh, this is great. This, you know, I had a stain in a shirt and this detergent just took it right out. And it's paid for word of mouth. Yeah. And, you know, I could very much see that, especially with the anonymity of all of this, mm-hmm. they could easily do that. And, is it right? Is it moral? Is it ethical? I don't know.
I see it a lot with entertainment too, like celebrities. I've seen, like, you know, Stephen Colbert on Twitter, you know, and I used to follow him anyway. But they, I'm sure, have some kind of writer that, you know, like you were saying, Lon, you know, update that on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. basically to promote the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, like a celebrity endorsement of, you know, a celebrity has their own certain brand to uphold. And if you turn into the corporate shill, you know, I mean, people aren't going to believe anything you say anymore.
Yeah,
so
right.
They also have to be smart about how they're, you know, promoting the products. And if they are getting paid to talk good about things on social networks, you know, just be smart about what you're saying and don't, you know, try not to make it look like an ad.
There might be a lot of people out there too. You know, we've obviously focused a lot on MySpace and Facebook here today. But there's a lot of people out there that have probably participated in some sort of social media website and may not even know about it. Live gaming. I mean, that was, you know, even before Xbox Live came out, there was live online mm-hmm. gaming through the PCs. That's that's in a sense a social network. You've got, well, obviously YouTube, and you mentioned Flickr before. What about Second Life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Second Life. Exactly. That's not, you know, I've heard about it and I've looked into it a little bit. I don't know a great deal about Second Life other than it can take away your real life.
I mean, you talked about how much, you know, Matt, you talked about how much time it took to, you know, just to keep going on Facebook and MySpace. I mean, holy cow, we don't have enough hours in our real life as opposed to trying to put it into another life.
Then there's networks like World of Warcraft where you know, call your friend and, hey, let's get online and go take quests or something. That's some kind of a odd network too, I guess.
Do you guys, is there any ads or anything in Second Life? I guess I'm not aware of that. Are they...
Oh, is there any sort of all kinds of marketing? Yeah.
There's like product placement and stuff in there.
Okay. There's contests. Coca-Cola had a big contest. Companies have their own islands in this virtual world. I think it's stupid.
There was a story on, I believe it was ABC News the other night. Barack Obama has his own little campaign headquarters right there in Second Life.
Wow. Huh. You have to give that a second look.
All right, let's go around the horn for final thoughts here. We went longer than expected for our show today, but that's okay. We had a lot to talk about. Best and the worst. What do you like best about the social media scene? And
what I like best about it is, I like I talked about with the e-music stuff, I get to learn about new things, new products, new bands, new, you know, forms of entertainment from the people that I know understand my tastes and people I can trust. And you know, the bad side of it is all the work that is involved in maintaining who you are on there if you really want to get into that.
Yeah, I kind of keep going back to like your personal brand or your online identity, and what I always think of is, I'm a web developer, but I never want to make my own website. I think that, you know, you want like a portfolio, or you want some kind of, you know, just one centralized place where you want your own website. And then I finally realized I don't need to do that, because with all of my network services like Twitter and Flickr and my delicious bookmarks and everything, all this stuff is tied together in such a way where it's kind of in itself my website online, and I don't need a separate thing for it.
One thing I like about the whole new social media world is that podcasts and stuff of people that you sort of respect, and like authors or TV people or whatever, who are out in the social media world and out there sort of spreading their word or talking or doing whatever they do, being able to connect with them sometimes through social media sites or whatever, Twitters or MySpace or Facebook or whatever, it makes being able to directly talk to that person something more tangible than it ever used to be. I mean, you could listen to a radio show, but how many opportunities would you have to actually say something to that person? And I think I've gotten a chance to talk to a couple people that I highly respect that I would have never imagined that I would have shared words with before, being here where I am in this little town. And it was pretty rewarding to be able to talk to those people from across the world. So I think that's pretty cool.
That's very cool. Eric, Darren, Matt, thank you very much for joining us on the show today. And if you have any questions for us here at the podcast, you can send an email to thepodcast@sundog.net. Audio comments are always welcome. And speaking of social media, we've also got a Sundog tag set up in Delicious for you to share with us. It's Sundog the Podcast, all one word. We'll catch you next time on the show. Thanks for joining us.